that men of all races and creeds might gather before him. On this Sunday of January 11th, the voice of the organ speaks once again its sacred invitation for one and all to gather in your radio chapel. From your radio chapel, KEX again invites you to draw closer to him who would have all men live as brothers. For it is in the cause of world brotherhood that KEX has invited all faiths, Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish, to declare in song and in spoken word their faith in a world that knows only one God. And so as we gather together on this Sunday morning, let us truly come as brothers, worshiping our one, all-caring, all-loving God. Conducting the service in your radio chapel this morning is Dr. Richard Steiner of the First Unitarian Church. And our choir is under the direction of Mrs. Carolyn H. Harrington and is from the Catlin School. As we begin the service, Paul Parse at the organ plays for you At Vespers. Mrs. Harrington directs the Catlin School Choir in two Bach compositions. First, Break Forth, O Beauteous Heavenly Light. Then, Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. Featured in the second selection will be a violin obbligato played by Mary Allison. Now the choir sings for you a lovely melody from the oratorio Elijah. Lift thine eyes.
Lift thine eyes, oh, lift thine eyes to God.
As the music is hushed, the word is spoken. Dr. Richard Steiner.
Someone has said that it is not so much what life brings to us in her hands as what we bring to life in our spirit that makes the difference between people. Paul may have had this truth in his mind when he wrote in the book of Romans, "We know to them that love God, all things work together for good." The crucial part of that phrase lies in its statement that it is to them that love God that all things work together for good. For all things by themselves do not work together for good, and there is no sense in pretending that they do. But Paul did not omit the first part. He did not omit it because he had a very real sense of the drama of life, and he knew that by our interior attitudes, we gain exterior results. What life does to us does not determine the consequence. It is simply the instigating factor. The consequence of what life does to us is the direct result of what there is within us. Millions of people have asked themselves the question, is life worth living? Many people who ask that question think that they are asking it about something cosmic in scope, having to do with the purposes of God. But as a matter of fact, that question is not cosmic at all. It's a very personal question, having to do with the inside attitude of the questioner. No one could, by any stretch of the imagination, ask the question, is life worth living, if he found that life was in any way dramatic. For if the essence of a dramatic situation is the presence of conflict, the only reason why anyone should be interested in that conflict is the desire to know how it is resolved. Any dramatist who would pose a dramatic problem and before the final curtain failed to arrive at a solution to the problem, would have his audience jeering him as a cheat and demanding their money back at the box office. It is the basic fact that a solution to a dramatic human problem is possible that holds the spectators in their seats up to the final curtain. If a person is bored and wants to leave before the final curtain, it simply means that the dramatist has utterly and completely failed in presenting the problem so that the individual may identify himself with it. Basic to an affirmative answer to the question, is life worth living, is the conclusion that men and women possess real freedom to control their lives. Determinism and free will, fate and freedom have been endlessly debated. But the time comes in every individual experience and in the social life of our time when that question goes far beyond any theoretical debate into a practical urgency. That time is on us now. All things are happening to some of us, and it does make a difference whether we think of ourselves as free, creative personalities who can make all things work together for good, or as mere victims of fate. I'm not interested this morning in any theoretical debate between determinism and freedom, but I would be less an American and much less a Christian if I did not believe that the evolution of life has been the progressive development of free initiative. Throw a tennis ball against the wall and it will come back to you. That is a mechanical process, a reaction. But let a prodigal son go into the far country and discover what it is like there, and he may or he may not come back to you. It will depend upon his response. We cannot, by any possibility, reduce the personal experience to a mechanical principle. The spiritual response of the prodigal son is not to be explained in any merely mechanistic terms. Something new is there, freedom of initiative and choice, a choice that has to be made in the very midst of conflicting forces being exerted upon his life. Any actor in any real drama, whether that drama be of the theater or of life itself, has the choice of either reacting or responding to something that lies close upon him. A reaction may be mechanistic or physical, but a response takes in far more territory. A response is conditioned upon certain very fundamental beliefs that the individual holds concerning his nature and the nature of the universe. If he believes that God is love, and that he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. Then his response to any of the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune will be a totally different response than the reaction of an individual who is without that faith. To dramatize one's life, to find drama in life, is not necessarily to make yourself the central actor. Rather, it is necessarily not to make yourself the central actor, but to make God and the purposes of God the center, which will motivate your actions. It is simply to be vitally aware of the conflict between good and evil, and to see the part that you can play in making life good, and then making it good. I have not purposed in this talk to provide a Pollyanna philosophy of life which will cover all situations, from doing the Monday morning washing to watching at the bedside of someone you love whose life is in immediate and terrible danger. There undoubtedly will in every life be moments of drudgery and moments of boredom, as there are in every life moments of great crisis and great anxiety. But the person who conceives of life as a great drama, and who believes that he or she has a real, if not the leading part to play in that drama, not as a puppet, but as a freely acting and freely initiating personality, that person will certainly find life much more exciting and much more fruitful than the individual who holds to the view that fate is everything, that all that one is and all one does is somehow or other predestined by a divine providence or by the workings of a mechanical universe. And the person who is able to find for himself or herself the greatest personal satisfactions in living this drama is by that very reason able to do that which is of infinitely greater importance, give excitement and satisfaction to all those people whose lives touch his own. Some souls go to pieces under the impact of the drama of life, but no soul has ever achieved greatness unless it has participated in the drama of life. Those souls that go to pieces have nothing within themselves to sustain themselves. Those souls that become great have something in them, so that all things do work together for good. Nothing will happen to us in the future that had not happened to others in the past. Life and death, joy and sorrow, romance and loss, friendship and bereavement, happiness and tragedy. What these things will do to us will depend on whether they find in us either the desire to participate in the drama of life with a high faith and a high purpose, or to stand aside from life with no faith and no purpose. It would be folly to choose the latter. It is only Christian to choose to make of life a high drama, rich in high purpose, fruitful in a high faith.
two well-known Negro spirituals have been chosen by Mrs. Harrington for the choir's next offering. Steal Away and Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.
Stay.
as the organ plays Be Thou My Vision, another service in your radio chapel comes to a close. Your service this morning was conducted by Dr. Richard Steiner of the First Unitarian Church. Music by the Kaplan School Choir under the direction of Mrs. Carolyn H. Harrington, accompanist Miss Emily Jones. Violin obbligato by Mary Allison, and at the organ, Paul Parse. Their services to your radio chapel are gratefully acknowledged by Station KEX. And on behalf of all faiths, may we invite you to attend the church of your choice this morning. And now until next Sunday at 9, when once again the organ will speak its sacred invitation for one and all to gather in your radio chapel, KEX wishes all men happiness and contentment of spirit. Ben Hunter speaking on behalf of radio station KEX. This is Westinghouse.